For those of you who are visiting, I'm so delighted that you are here in support of family and friends. I want to let you know that I have invited the congregation as a whole to this season be reading the book of Luke in the New Testament. The Gospel of Luke is, I believe, the best telling of the Christmas story. So during my sermon in a little bit, I will make references to the Gospel of Luke. If you want to pull out your pew Bible, on page 56, 57, around there, the Gospel of Luke, and you may follow along. The reason we're looking at the Gospel of Luke, there are many. One is that Luke was a physician, a scientist of his day, one who was very thorough. And what he undertook to do was to take all the written accounts of Jesus, of the early church, and to write those down in an orderly fashion. So Luke did that, and he was more in tune, I think, with the journalistic spirit that wanted to capture the context, the history, the dates, to put the Christian story into secular history in a way that allows it to be connected. And church scholars have appreciated that over the years. For so many places in the Bible, we don't have that. But you will see that as you read through the Gospel of Luke. So today we are looking at Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, among other portions of Scripture. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, and the high priest Anna and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Loving God, in this beautiful setting, with the lights and the music and the gathering of those who are festively dressed, we gather during this season, a season of anticipation. But what we experience this day is your spirit. And your spirit quickens our heart to want to serve, to love, and to care for others. Be with us, Lord, that as we read the Christmas story, as we listen to the music, as we prepare our hearts, that we receive from your Holy Spirit whatever it is you want us to receive this day and in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a wonderful time of the year, is it not? So many folks think of things beyond themselves. Our hearts are moved out of compassion for others, and we want to do things for other people. My next door neighbor a couple of years ago came to me and said, you know, I want to do something this time of year. He was not a church goer himself, but he said, Gary, can't you set up something for me that that I might serve food to those in need? And actually, he asked me right before Thanksgiving and was thinking of Thanksgiving or Christmas. And trying to accommodate him, I called some of our United Methodist social agencies. And what they told me is this. We are inundated this time of year with people who want to serve food. And the key that you need to know, Gary, is that if they would call us 2 weeks after Christmas, there would be plenty of opportunity to serve, to cook, and to care for the homeless. And I thought of that, and I thought of this season where so many want to do well. I want to share with you something I read from Charles Dickens, the author of A Christmas Carol, about this very thing. He said this, I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come around, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in a long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on another journey. And therefore, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it. Charles Dickens. This is a season where our hearts are moved. And as we read the Christmas story, we see that it's a season where God moves us to do things, but more than for a season, for a lifetime. John the Baptist came as the first part of the Christmas story to prepare the folks for receiving the Savior, receiving the Messiah. Let me put this into context for you. It had been 400 years since anyone had received from God words through a prophet. Now, saying that, you must understand that in the Old Testament, the Lord often spoke through the prophets. But now, after 400 years, the word of the Lord came to the people, the Hebrew people in Israel, with this good news. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to all those gathered, I come to bring a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. After 400 years, the word of the Lord came, not saying, let us all be in harmony, or not saying, let us all be one folks. The word of the Lord was, I have come that you might receive a baptism of forgiveness, a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Let's just stop for a moment and think about that. John the Baptist, full of the Holy Spirit, was bringing this word to the people. And in it we understand that God was saying to us, I want to be back in relationship with you. I want you as a people to reestablish, to live again the covenant where I will be your God and you will be my people. Receive this gift of unconditional love. Now, isn't it true that the forgiveness of sins is an act of unconditional love? For by no doing on our own part other than seeking God, we receive all that God has for us. Let me put it into context for you this way. There's an author by the name of Andrew Weirman, who tells a story of visiting a community, a home where folks were of retirement age, not so much unlike us. And in this home, as they began to talk about Christmas, everyone there was invited to share a story of their favorite Christmas. And as the author writes, one by one, people started talking about their favorite Christmas story. And by the time they were done, every single story took place during their childhood. Every story during childhood. And this made the author think for himself. And he remembered his favorite Christmas story when he was 7 years old on Christmas Eve. Mom had taken him and the other kids out of their apartment in the Bronx where they lived, and they had gone on an errand. And when they were making their way back to their apartment, he heard a whistle that was not consistent with any of the other sounds of the apartment. It was a whistle as like a train. And they ran to the door, and they opened the door, and they went inside, and there was Dad with a conductor's hat and a Lionel electric train, the biggest, most beautiful electric train he had ever seen. And this train was going about their living room with a whistle of a train. This was Andrew Wyman's best memory of Christmas. And he goes on to explain why. He said, in that moment, as I think back, in that moment, life was full of the love of family. He says, as a child, I fully experienced unconditional love. And for him, writing some 50 years later, he still had the train, cherished it, not because of any material value, but cherished the train because of what it meant to his family. And he said this in his writing. He said, somehow that act of unconditional love connected me with God in a way that's hard to explain. Other than this, the sound of the whistle or the sound of the angels proclaiming the birth of our Savior. He said, those sounds are one and the same. The whistle, the joy, the love of family, the proclamation of the angels, the joy, the love of God. If we look at the Gospel of Luke, we read about a story of unconditional love. And the angels that Weirman was talking about appear several times, but in our story and for our thoughts this morning, I want to point out three. If you want to turn with me, to page 54 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. You don't have to do this. I'll read it to you. But if you'd like to follow along or follow along yourselves later, I'm sorry, page 51, Luke 1. It had been 400 years since anyone had heard from God. Oh, they still went to worship. They went to the temple. They had their ceremonies. But hearing through a prophet had not happened. And Zechariah, in verse about 13 of chapter 1 of Luke, is a priest, an older priest. He and his wife, Elizabeth, had no children. And in that culture, that was a difficult thing. And they had prayed for children. But on this day, they drew lots, all the priests did, and only by whoever got the short stick would be the one that would go into the holy place and it was Zechariah's turn. Zechariah went in, and there he was confronted by an angel. An angel. No one had seen such a thing for 400 years. No one had heard from God, and he was full of fear, as one would expect. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for the Lord is bringing you a message that you and Elizabeth will have a son. His name will be John, and he will be the one to proclaim, like Elijah in the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah." Now, Scripture tells us that Elijah was told that John would be full of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he was, that was his message. Receive the baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sin as a gift from God. Now, hear that. By not saying receive love or receive harmony, receive unity, receive the restoration of relationship. Then you will be filled with all the other things and receive that which you need. There's a verse in Scripture, and you'll need to know this towards the end of the sermon, that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now remember that. We'll come back to that. John was saying to them, seek God first. And God wants to establish covenant and establish relationship with people in a new and wonderful way. Let's look at another one. Okay, in that first one that I told you, Luke 1, in those verses, it's in verse 15, it says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn the page, and you see in Luke 1, about verse 35, where the angel, same angel that spoke to Zechariah, Gabriel, is now speaking to Mary and telling her about all that is to happen to her. And he says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then at verse 7, for with God nothing is impossible. And she learned of the blessing that she would be the mother of Jesus. The angels came again. Look with me now, Luke 2, verse 8. And part of the story that we will read on Christmas Eve will be from Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. But just hear these couple of verses at verse 8. And in that region there will be shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In all of these stories, it clearly makes the birth of Jesus different than the birth of any other person. We can celebrate and travel to the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln or the birthplace of George Washington, but there's something different in this story. In the birth of Jesus, we are seeing a new connection. We are seeing not only the story of the birth of Jesus, but in each of these counts, the presence of God in the form of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah experienced through the angel saying, this son of yours will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The angel came to Mary and said, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mary went to go visit Elizabeth, when they both had received word of their pregnancies and the coming of John and Jesus, and the child within Elizabeth leaped for joy when they came together. And Scripture says, then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that at the birth of Jesus, at his baptism, we read about how the Spirit of God came down like in the form of a dove, and the Holy Spirit was on Jesus. So our story is more than the birth of a great one. It's the reconnection of God with a people. And at Christmas time, this is a reminder that the Lord calls us to have a change of heart from that which does not include God, to receive all of that which does include God. Henry Drummond, many things among those a scientist, once said to a group of college students. His word of advice was this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, or don't seek it at all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, or don't seek it at all. Because if you seek it second, I promise you, you will be miserable, said Henry Drummond. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord first, and then receive all that God has for you. The gift of forgiveness, the gift within repentance. Drummond was saying, if we don't put God first and we try to make other things God or other things more important, then we find life to be miserable. Do it the way God says, as the way God connected in the pages of Luke, and you see, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the angels and the heavenly hosts proclaimed, and the shepherds heard, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let us this season hear again the story and understand the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love of God that says, I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. I want to be in relationship with you. Seek me out these days. Seek me out this season. Hear of me, receive me in the singing of the choir and in the reading of the scripture. Know that I am Lord and I am here. And then truly, this becomes a season of anticipation, expectation, and receiving. May the peace of God be with you. Amen.